In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Every human being, every human soul, thirsts for God. It's not a matter of choice. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and we thirst for Him. We are confused. We are born confused into a world that is confused, a world that is broken. But in our humanity, by our humanity, we have a desire for God that causes us to search everywhere, not even knowing what it is that we desire. But nothing of this world can satisfy the soul of a human being, because there is nothing in this world that is like the soul. Only God is like the soul. We are created in His image and likeness, and He is what we desire. David was the greatest of the kings of Israel. He had everything that a man could desire, and yet he had never been satisfied. He gained everything that he had ever wanted, desired, or lusted for, only to taste ashes in his mouth, and the loss of desire, once whatever it was that he thought he had desired, was gained. And he knew, as a result, even greater desire. It's not the only thing that can happen. After we achieve what we thought we desired and would fulfill us, there is an alternative to further desire. And that is that we give up. We decide that what I desire is not available. It is a figment of my imagination. The desire that I have cannot be fulfilled. And so we try to not desire. We cease desiring. Life loses meaning, and we simply go through the motions. But with David, his desire continued after he had tasted everything. At last, he repents, and humbly he returns to his first love, the love that he had as a shepherd in the field, composing psalms of love to God. And he began again to write the mature psalms that he wrote. One of the psalms, Psalm 42, reads, "As a hart longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God." You can think of a time in your life when you were so hot, so parched, whether you were out working in the field, cutting the grass, doing something under the hot sun. And the one thing that you wanted more than anything else was water. And then you find some source of water. Flowing stream. Could be a garden hose these days for most of us. And in that condition of complete thirst, it seems at first that you can't get enough water. That flowing water. That cool water that refreshes you. As a hart longs for flowing streams, that is how David longs for God. He repents, and now he knows the object of his desire. The only alternative to this is a disappointed desire. Every soul thirsts for God, but some show it by a sneering worldliness. "I know that what you pursue is not possible to gain." And they can turn this sneering disappointment, this disappointed worldliness, to anyone who shows any interest in life, and especially any interest in God. Theirs is a seeming apathy, but it is a disappointed desire for God. Some respond in calm despair. They may discover what the ancients discovered, what the Romans discovered and put into words best of all, a stoicism of self-control, coming to the conclusion that passion is simply not worth the effort. Control your passions, because if you let your passions get away from you, you will be disappointed. There is a kind of Eastern stoicism called Buddhism. Blow out the candle, the flame of desire, because it is the source of all suffering. David was no Buddhist. He was no Stoic. He was a man of great passion. That's why we remember him, not because of his passion for the world, not because of all of the things that he did that no human being ought to have done, But because of the fact that having tasted everything, his desire was even inflamed more greatly. And he returned. He repented. Returned to his love for God. At first, we thirst for the things of this world. And then, hopefully, by the grace of God and our desire, the eyes of the soul open. And we thirst for God. The fathers call the eye of the soul the nous. It is very simply our spiritual intelligence. We are not born with spiritual intelligence. We learn spiritual intelligence, learn that it is present within us, there to turn to largely by disappointed experience and not despairing. Keep your heart, your soul in hell and despair not. We are advised. St. Nikolai Velimirovich said, if you have passed from the first, the desire for the things of the world, and to the second, the desire for God, if you have passed from thirst for this world to thirst for God, then you are ready to be a man. Then you are ready to be a human being. Until you thirst for God, you are not ready to be a human being. Certainly you are not ready to be a Christian. You are not ready to respond to what Christ offers us. Jesus Christ comes to a Samaritan woman. We know her name. Her name was Photini. Her icon is there in the center, in the back quarter, left hand from where I stand, along with her children. We know that she went and she witnessed before the Emperor Nero without any fear, showed the same strong personality and self-possession that we see in her at the well. And Nero made a martyr of her for her love for God. When Christ came to her there at the well, like Mary of Egypt, Photini had been a woman who had mastered men easily, but they had nothing to give her. She found nothing in another human being to respond to her desire, which was a desire for God. And like Mary of Egypt, she has grown cynical. She has grown cynical, believing that what I desire does not exist. There is a desire in me that cannot be fulfilled. And then Christ comes, and they have this incredible dialogue together. This man touches her heart and soul. He can deliver what she desires. And he offers in this unusual way. Give me to drink. Why do you ask me, a Samaritan woman, something to drink? This water, if you drink it, you will grow thirsty again. But the water that I could give you, if you respond to me, to my offer of communion with you, is a water that will satisfy your thirst for God. There is something miraculous about every human being. Every one of us is created in the image and likeness of God. There is a miracle hidden in every human being, that ability to respond to God. That response to God that makes it possible for us to be the person that God created. If we respond to Him, in who there is the fullness of our human nature fulfilled, our human nature can be fulfilled. And the person, the personality that we are, can go and live the rest of our lives and flourish as the being that God created us to be. Jesus Christ comes into the world to share Himself, to share His divine human life with all mankind as an eternal spring of life. He begins with those who have already learned most fully that this world, including making others the spiritual food of their desires, can never satisfy us. At first, we try to fulfill ourselves by way of the things of the world, and then we try to fulfill ourselves by way of the other human beings of the world, by making them submit to us, by getting the better of them, by consuming their spirit in some way. to build ourselves up. But even that, making food of others, cannot satisfy our desire for God, because it does not make us like God. It makes us instead like the enemy, God's enemy and our own. Fotini knows, as Mary of Egypt discovered, that nothing can quench the thirst that she had in youth. For Fotini, that thirst has passed away largely. There is disappointment in life in her. This, in fact, is how every atheist is. There had been that desire. Fool me once, fool me twice, you'll never fool me again. I will not desire anything the way I desired God in my youth, having mistaken the fulfillment of my desire first in one thing and then another, and always having been disappointed. Now I no longer believe in that which can fulfill me. And at least I know that his name is God. That's the atheist. But also, there are those of us who make a pretense of faith in Christ, and really, we no longer expect fulfillment. There is healing for us, but that way lies humility. That way lies the death of our self-love, and it is a demanding path. Jesus Christ comes to Fotini and he offers her everything. Give me to drink and I will give you the living water that every soul in this desert world longs for. Give me to drink. It means ask me, turn to me and ask for me. Ask that I give of myself and share my life with you. He calls us to communion, to repentance. Repentance of our despair. He calls us to respond to him with the godlike divinity of our own soul that makes of each and every human being a miraculous being. On the day that he took scripture up in the synagogue and called them to respond to him, the Nazarenes of his own village tried to kill him, tried to push him off a cliff. When he healed the possessed of the Gadarenes, the rest of the Gadarenes who preferred the enemy drove him out. But this day, when he comes to Fotini, is a Paschal day. We are still in the Paschal season. He reveals himself to Fotini. And both Fotini and the Samaritan village responds to him. He has been like the fisherman that he calls and sends out into the world. He teases a response out of her, even though she has grown so callous and cynical. Response to the love of God still is there as a spark within the heart of this worldly woman. And he does this by his own divine humility. He finds a way to say to her, I am the Messiah you seek, and yet he does it humbly. His words, give me to drink, mean respond to me from your soul and share my life. A life that will be a source of living water within you that quenches you on and on forever. You know, when we get hold of that garden hose, we were so thirsty, we can only drink so much. But for a Christian who loves God, for a Christian whose eyes of the soul have been opened, life is a continuing, passionate fulfillment by the presence of God in others and in all things of God's creation. That is the experience of the saints. No matter what loss, no matter what hard evil may come to us, he quenches our soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, David said. That is fulfilled in the life of the Christian. This is our church, but we are not here to make it our accomplishment. We are here to offer living waters to any who desire and thirst for God. That's why we prepare. That's why we come to communion. That's why we receive the body and blood of Christ, not for ourselves, but for others, that this fountain of living water might well up within us, and that others might come and slake their thirst and discover the source of divine human life that Christ came, brought into the world, and shared with all of us at Pentecost, so that we might share it with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.